Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
It's going down right here.
Hour number three on FST. Thanks for joining us on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We're talking NFC North all morning. Had Joe DeLuise from Lombardi Ave on. We're going to have Dave Burkett from Detroit Free Press on to talk Lions. Joe was talking about the Packers, excuse me. And if you didn't get the Vince Lombardi reference, Vince Lombardi went to my high school, by the way. How about that?
Rep.
Yes, sir.
So did Joe Torre.
Yes, he did. And so did Marco Battaglia, a very good tight end in the NFL for years. I give him a shout out because he's one of my good buddies from high school. So there you go.
Yeah, you guys are terrible at sports. That's wild.
We were not back in the day, back when I was there. And yeah, over the years, things have changed. It's impossible for me to tell like what has happened, but yeah, it is not a sports powerhouse like it once was. I think they still have some decent teams out there, but you know, the football team, which is kind of the most followed one, is not what it once was, but we'll see. Trying to turn things around. Well, let me do a quick read here. We're giving away more World Series tickets on FNTSY on Fantasy Sports Radio Network. This time it's to the winner of free DFS baseball contest. The contest is sponsored by TKMS, who are looking for your help in the fight against blood cancer. For many patients, a bone marrow transplant is the best chance for survival. While 30% of patients can find a matching donor in their family, 70%, nearly 14,000 each year, must rely on a benevolent stranger to step up and donate. You can find out how you can help the cause and win 2018 World Series tickets playing free daily fantasy baseball by going to dailyroto.com/TKMS. That's dailyroto.com/TKMS. Your ticket to the World Series and someone's ticket to life. So Joe DeLuise got back to me. I Skyped him or messaged him real quick after he got off because we ran out of time. I couldn't shut my mouth and was asking too many questions. So I asked him what the Packers' expectations were, and he said 12 wins. He thinks it's going to be tight, like with the Vikings, like tooth and nail down to the wire. And what does that schedule look like in week 17? Are they playing each other in week 16 or 17?
Packers, Lions, Bears, Vikes.
But how about the previous week?
No, Jets, so Bears.
On the spot.
Last Vikings right. game is week 13, give or take. They play okay. each other week two of the season. So, I mean, we'll get it jumping pretty quick.
So, maybe the Packers being overlooked a little bit. Maybe that schedule really helps them out. But I think you're just going to have questions about the Packers secondary for now. The Vikings defense is going to be arguably the best in the entire NFL. It was last year statistically.
I do
think
it's
always a weird thing when you say number one statistically because it's based on yardage and that doesn't really matter. But they did allow the least points. They had a whole bunch of sacks. You know who led the league in sacks last year? It's weird.
I do.
You wouldn't guess it. Who?
Chandler Jones.
No.
Oh, team. Oh, I would have to guess the Jaguars.
You would guess that. Most people would guess that. It wasn't. The Steelers actually were.
What?
One more than the Jags. Yeah, weird.
Baby Watt?
Weird,
that's kind
of an anomaly
be.
Of a stat. Yeah, T.J. Watt. I'm excited for him this year, by the way. The loss of Ryan Shazier is a brutal one, but I think T.J. Watt can make up for some of that, different positions and all, but he can make up for some of it. The Steelers will have a huge hole at middle linebacker, but I digress. Let's talk about the Bears because we're running tight on time, and we still got to talk to Dave Burkett in about 12 minutes or so. So their schedule lines up at Packers, Seahawks, at Cards, Tampa, bye week. Early bye week for them. at Miami, then New England, the Jets. That's weird. They play all four AFC East teams in a row.
That's stupid.
I've never seen that before.
I don't
like at Miami. I've never seen that before in my entire life. They're playing the opposite division four weeks in a row.
I hate the NFL.
At Miami, then they host New England and the Jets, then they go to Buffalo. Detroit, Minnesota, at Detroit. So they play Detroit twice in 3 weeks. Then at the Giants, Rams, Packers, at Niners, at Vikings. That is a rough December, and they are not going to survive that. They got to go to New York, then host the Rams, host the Packers, then go to San Francisco, then go to Minnesota. That's going to – it could fall apart. Even if it's looking good, after week 12, 11 games in, say they're 6-5, I think it could go south after that. They could lose four of those last five. Anyway, so give me your thoughts. Just give me general thoughts on the Bears and all of these additions that they've made, because there have been a lot of them.
It's tough. I do think that we fall into this trap of we think, oh, wow, 2017 gave us this. Who's going to do that in 2018? Like, a lot of people, who's going to be Alvin Kamara? I don't know if that's going to happen. Who's going to be the Rams?
Yeah.
Who's going to go from the worst offense in football to the best offense in football? Like, we have to be careful with that type of stuff. Like, is Matt Nagy going to be Sean McVay? Is Taylor Gabriel going to be, I don't even know who would he be in this equation? Cooper Kupp? Anthony Miller's Robert Woods? Like, there's no Todd Gurley here. And Goff was a higher rated prospect than Trubisky was. So I think that the expectations are difficult. I do like their offensive line. Especially the interior, Whitehair, Long, and Daniels can be very, very good for this team. I do think, because you saw that, you mentioned they play the AFC East 4 weeks straight. Look at that, their opening nine games, seeing the Cardinals, the Bills, the Jets, and the Dolphins. You know, and Tampa as well. It's Jameis' first game back, that week four game. I mean, maybe they come out of that looking all right, but I still don't know how much better this football team is. If you were to ask me where I think that this is a season that is going to be based on individual success and judgment, and if that somehow equates to a 500, maybe a playoff team like some people are talking about, then so be it. But it's, does Mitchell Trubisky look worth what we gave up to go and get him? Does Matt Nagy look like he's going to be our head coach of the future? Is Allen Robinson 100% and worth the money that we paid him? Is the offensive line shored up? Is Roquan Smith the captain of our defense? I think those individual questions. Is Jordan Howard going to be a top 10 running back? Where does Tariq Cohen fit in? Those individual questions are more important than the overall record for this team. But if it leads to a good record, so be it.
Yeah, so a lot of changes, as you said. The head coach is new, Matt Nagy. He was the offensive coordinator in Kansas City last year. The new offensive coordinator is Mark Helfrich. He was known to do some work at Oregon before he was summarily dismissed a couple years ago. I can't remember where he was last year. Vic Fangio is the defensive coordinator. The additions are Allen Robinson and Taylor Gabriel, as well as Trey Burton. Obviously, they have Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen back, Mitch Trubisky at QB. The offensive line is mostly in place. Charles Leno Jr., Kyle Long, Bobby Massey, all there. Cody Whitehair as well. They did draft James Daniels in the second round. So he may very well step in at guard at some point. He can play guard and center, but he'd most likely slot in at left guard. And I wouldn't be surprised if he wins that job from Jump Street. Additionally, they didn't have a first-round pick, but they had two second rounds. They had James Daniels was one. Anthony Miller at wide receiver was the other. Actually, they did have a first-round pick. My bad. Roquan Smith, you said earlier that the contract situation is not worked out with him. The point that I was trying to make, it was like 2 hours ago that I was trying to make, and I forgot because we get off on a Julio tailspin. It's like a year-to-year thing with these rookie contracts. They're all slotted in. It shouldn't be that complicated, but they usually fall like dominoes pretty quickly. So I'm sure the Bears are irritated by the fact that their guy's not in camp. They open camp early because they're in the Hall of Fame game. But nonetheless, I would expect it's not going to be a drawn-out thing.
But isn't it already drawn out?
yeah, I don't understand why some years everybody's kind of signed up ready to go before camp and other years it drags on a little bit. So I think the agent is just waiting for a couple of guys in front and a couple of guys behind. When the last I read was a few days ago, only three of the top 10 guys had signed. So there's seven more to go, and I don't remember who's who. You know, I'm sure by next week, when we're here on Saturday, by the way, I'm off next weekend, but by next weekend, I bet you it's all sorted out. So those usually fall like dominoes. It sucks for the Bears and for Smith, but there's nothing really he can do. He's just got to wait until everything's done. So let's just take a look at ADPs. Trubisky, 29th. I think you know what that means. I think even in a 2QB league, people aren't really trusting him. He's a backup in 2QB leagues. I think he's just a guy you have lined up on your waiver wire. If you're a believer in Mitch Trubisky, you have him lined up on your waiver wire. If somebody goes down or if you need somebody in a bye week, their bye week is early, so Trubisky would be a guy like after week five that maybe you're taking a look at, or you know, lining yourself up for whatever your QB has as a bye week. Let's go ADPs for their running backs. Jordan Howard hasn't been talked about enough. Just seeing a story this morning where Matt Nagy said he's a three-down back, which makes you scratch your head because what does that mean with Tariq Cohen? But right now, Jordan Howard is going as the 13th. Let me make sure I'm in the right. This is standard scoring. I like to do PPR because more people play that now. He is the 16th running back off the board. That is pretty amazing to me because guys in front of him are Dalvin Cook, Jerick McKinnon, Joe Mixon, LeSean McCoy. I mentioned those four because those are the ones I have question marks about. Cook is just based on health. I'm not doubting his talent and that offense's ability to be pretty good. But McKinnon, I'd take him over McKinnon. I'd take him over Mixon. I'd take him over McCoy right now just because McCoy's got a big fat question mark over him. So that would push him to me close to top 12. He's probably 13th. I nearly got him in our Scott Fish Bowl, but in any event, I think he's probably being overlooked a little bit, maybe because people are worried about this offense or worried about Tariq Cohen taking touches. What are your thoughts?
I saw today on the timeline, so it might have came out yesterday, a few days back, where Nagy suggested that Jordan Howard can be much more than just a first down, second down running back, his ability to catch the football. And it was quoted with basically the number saying, no, he can't. He's just not a good pass catcher. But if they're going to use him, regardless, that has to make you feel good about the outlook for a guy like Jordan Howard. Like, if they're going to, you know, give him 50 targets, that can really, really boost up his potential. And I do think he's going to be the touchdown guy here for this team. I think if Cohen wants to score touchdowns like last year, you know, it's going to have to come on big, explosive plays. I think that's one of the things with this offense, right? Is in a way, does it mirror? We talk a lot about the Chiefs, but can it mirror what you see in Philadelphia, where there's maybe not one guy, but it's a lot of guys who specialize in certain roles? Like, is Jordan Howard the LeGarrette Blount, Jay Ajayi combination? But, you know, that won't work. That work won't be split. But then Tariq Cohen is kind of the Corey Clement, and you see how versatile he then is within the pass game.
Yeah, what's interesting in the projections I'm looking at right now, it's ESPN's like projections for the year. They like Jordan Howard to get over 1,000 yards with 7 touchdowns, 28 catches for 231. So that's a pretty good season. Think about that. It's 1,250 yards and 7 touchdowns. You'll take that. That'll be big time. And then Tariq Cohen as the 29th back, so an RB3. 300 yards rushing, another 470 catching the ball, but nearly 60 passes caught. So that would be pretty interesting. Tariq Cohen catching 60 passes, that makes him really damn valuable. That's a flex guy in your lineup in PPR leagues every week as the 29th running back off the board. I just wonder if the offense can be efficient enough for both of them to have that kind of value.
Yeah, I understand that the question, right? I think, too, I guess the concern could be for Howard is if this team, you know, is behind a lot, could they then have to throw more, which could that see Cohen on the field more? So that could be dangerous.
But the early part of that schedule, as you and I just reviewed,
for sure,
that bad.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely. Maybe they're not. Like, I don't think this team's going to be terrible, but I'm not buying this team. A lot of people are in on, like, the Bears are the turnaround team for this year. Mm-hmm. I'm just not buying that.
So I
think it's too much all at once, personally.
I messaged Robert Zaglinski. He did apologize. Wasn't able to join on air. Practice ran a little bit long. All good. We'll try and get him on later before the season starts. But I did say, just, you know, current outlook for the team. Obviously, with this many new faces, things can change. He said, as of today, he has him projected 8-8, third in the division. The new offense, it's difficult. But to put them any higher, you know, they have to prove it. They'd have to earn that type of praise. He hasn't gotten back to me as to who he thinks is fourth. My assumption would be it would be the Detroit Lions, who I'm excited to talk about next. But, you know, that, I mean, that's one of the things. I can see 8-8, especially if the schedule lines up for them and some things hit. But I can also see this not going as smooth with Nagy being in his first year, with Trubisky still having to take that learning curve, and just everybody's adjusting. Everybody's adjusting. I like Trey Burton. I like Allen Robinson. I like Jordan Howard. I like what's there. It's everybody is new. That's very difficult.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. That's really why I've struggled with it. Allen Robinson being drafted 18th, right behind Josh Gordon and Amari Cooper, right in front of Juju Smith-Schuster and Demaryius Thomas. I have no doubt how talented he is, and obviously he's had a long time to recover from this ACL, but he might be the one guy outside of Jordan Howard that I can see myself targeting. I just don't know if I'm in love with him like other people are. So we've got Dave Burkett from the Detroit Free Press coming up. I'm with the Bears being in the last place team in this division, but we'll come back, talk to Dave Burkett about the Lions.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand, or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out now. You can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Back on Fantasy Sports Today at FNTSY Radio on Twitter. If you enjoy playing daily fantasy sports but are sick of dealing with professionals using algorithms to select hundreds of lineups and entries, try the Props Builder tool at mybookie.ag. Forget having to create multiple lineups, ditch the hassle of dealing with late scratches, and avoid experts winning 90% of the money. Invest in the players that you want without salary caps. And if you sign up for a new account using the promo code FNTSY, you can elect an option to receive a 50% deposit bonus with a rollover requirement. No more dealing with late lineup scratches, no experts to compete against, just you and the prop that you choose. Go to mybookie.ag, enter promo code FNTSY upon signup, and choose your matchups using the Props Builder tool. That's mybookie.ag, promo code FNTSY. So, we're going to have Dave Burkett on from the Detroit Free Press soon enough. Don't think we have him just yet, so just we'll hold tight on that, but we'll talk generally about the Lions. So big change, obviously, at the head coaching position. And give me your thoughts initially, Kevin, on do you like the move of Matt Patricia? Do you think they're going to go? What do you think happens here generally?
Well, I actually think that the entire season can kind of depend on whether Patricia is a success or not. If he is, I do believe that this team can push for a playoff spot. I really like this roster, and we'll break that down more with Dave and things of that nature. If he ends up being a mess, if it ends up being another one of these guys that struggles without Bill, or even if it's just first-year head coach struggles, I think then things then could become very, very difficult for this football team. But I actually have some high expectations for them. I think that they could be pretty good. I don't see the fourth-place stuff. I don't necessarily know how far behind they are of the Packers and Vikings. I like what they have there. And I do think that if Patricia can kind of just get some things going with this team defensively, I think that they can be a pretty good football team.
Yeah, so Matt Patricia is the head coach. Jim Bob Cooter has been there as the offensive coordinator. He's got a good relationship with Stafford. He stays there. They bring in Paul Pasqualoni as defensive coordinator, longtime Syracuse head coach. He's bounced around a bunch the last few years. He was with the Texans. He was at Boston College. He was, you know, in a few different spots. But here he is, defensive coordinator of the Lions. And in years past, and forgive me as I'm going to check the Lions' schedule as well, but in years past, we have seen this defense struggle. They've, you know, constantly been around that 8-8, 9-7 deal. They were 9-7 last year, came in second right behind the Lions as the Packers' season fell apart after Rodgers got hurt. But, you know, they missed out on the playoffs, is why they made the change at head coach. I think they're tired of going 9-7. Last year, the defense ranked 27th in yards given up, struggled on pass defense, middle of the road on rushing defense, but really the one thing they haven't been able to do, and if we get Dave on, we will, I'll get the exact number, but I think it's 66 games in a row where they haven't had a 100-yard rusher. They have not been able to run the ball at all, and it's been a committee for years, and it hasn't worked. Now, it seems like they're trying to rectify that, because Amir Abdullah, who's a veteran, really hasn't taken that role and run with it. He's now in his fourth season, 15, 16, 17. Yeah, it's his fourth season. Theo Riddick is there, who obviously fulfills a role in catching passes, but they drafted Kerryon Johnson to try and see if they have maybe a bell cow back or somebody that can, you know, to just give you a sense of how bad they were rushing the ball last year. They were 31st in rushing attempts. They were 32nd in yards, and they were dead last in yards per attempt, 3.4 yards per carry. So that has obviously been a huge struggle for them. Pass defense, rushing the ball, they obviously addressed it in the draft by taking left guard Frank Ragnow, number in their as their first-round pick, Kerryon Johnson as their second-round pick. So they tried to continue to shore up that offensive line, Taylor Decker, the first-round pick a couple of years ago. They didn't address too much on the defensive side of the ball. They got a defensive and Deshaun Hand in round four. But they're rolling out there with the guys that they've had. Glover Quinn is obviously really good, and Darius Slay is a really good corner and a high-paid one at that. So I think this is going to be part of it, and I always thought, I'm sorry I'm going on a rant here, but I've always thought that they play games so tight, they can't control the ball because they can't run it, that they're waiting around for Stafford to make some plays in the fourth quarter. And he does it a lot, but he can't do it every game. So that's why they end up 8-8, 9-7. Almost every game is tight in the fourth quarter, it feels like, with them.
Yeah, I think the running back situation is one that fantasy is a little bit more worrisome than actually on the field. Because if Kerryon Johnson hits, great. Like, that's awesome. They got that pick right. But I like what they've done with the offensive line. I think the Frank Ragnow pick is really going to work for them. And I do believe that the combo of LeGarrette Blount and Theo Riddick allows them to have a baseline of success that even if Kerryon Johnson ends up not being what they hoped for when they drafted him, they'll be just fine. Because I think that that's, it is a textbook pass catching running back in Theo Riddick and a first and second down running back in LeGarrette Blount who can do enough of the other stuff to where it's not a dead giveaway when they are on the field.
Yeah, so let's go position by position. We got Matt Stafford. He was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7th last year. He was right behind Kirk Cousins, right in front of Phillip Rivers. Right now he's going as the 10th QB off the board. He's behind Cousins and Garoppolo, in front of Luck and Roethlisberger. I want Stafford of that group. I like him. He's the one I feel safest about. Obviously, you got questions about Luck. I think Roethlisberger could have a really good year, but you're always, the injury thing is always kind of lingering in the back of your head. But do you want to bet on Cousins in Minnesota and Garoppolo in San Francisco over Matt Stafford? Matt Stafford's clearly the most consistent of those three.
Yeah, I think that Stafford could have an awesome season. I mean, he was pretty good last year, 29 touchdowns to 10 picks, 65, almost 66 completion percentage, almost for 4,500 yards, and he's got a great receiving core. Marvin Jordan, Golden Tate continue to be probably the most underrated wide receiver duo in football, and it should be a really, it could be a really good year for Kenny Golladay. I do say I worry about the tight ends.
I think Golladay is the guy that could be really interesting. Really interesting. We'll get into their ADPs in a minute. What were you going to say about tight end?
I worry about it. I worry about it. Eric Ebron was almost a fantasy joke for a while. Like, oh, he's the breakout year, breakout year, breakout year. Never came. Yeah. But he was better than what they're left with now, Luke Wilson or Levine Tololio.
Yeah. So we have Dave Burkett from the Detroit Free Press. You can find him on Twitter at Dave Burkett. It's DaveBirkett. Dave, thanks for joining us.
Not a problem. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing okay. He's a Lions beat writer for Detroit Free Press and a Pro Football Hall of Fame voter. So we were just getting into the discussion of this receiving corps, Dave, because certainly from a fantasy standpoint, everybody loves Golden Tate. He's a rock at that position. But is this the year that Kenny Golladay maybe usurps Marvin Jones to some extent, or has this become a three-headed monster?
Yeah, I think you guys hit it right. You know, all three guys are probably worth owning. I mean, none of those three is going to be an Antonio Brown type where you can, you know, depend on them every week. That's just, I think the Lions will spread the ball around a little too much. But, you know, they're all worth owning because I think they're all going to have their moments this year. I mean, Tate is good for, you know, six catches a game, and, you know, he's not going to put up the biggest touchdown numbers or the biggest yards. And, you know, Marvin's going to, he's going to have a couple of those games where he busts out for 125 yards and a touchdown or two. And I think Galladay's sort of in the same boat. I mean, he's a, you know, big guy, obviously showed some flashes last year, battled a hamstring, but, you know, he can get down the field and catch the ball. He can be a red zone threat. And because they don't have that tight end that's going to command the ball a lot, you're going to see the Lions play a lot of three wide receiver sets this year. So all three of those guys are going to get pretty good run.
Dave, how do you feel about the running game as a whole? This is something they're clearly trying to improve when they drafted Ragnow in the first, Kerryon Johnson in the second. They have a traditional 1-2 punch in LeGarrette Blount and Theo Riddick there, but Kerryon should, I think, because of where they drafted him, see a lot of work. How do you view the running game for Detroit this year?
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And you know, I've used this little statistic before, I guess, but I think it's the last 3 or 4 years, the running backs that teams have traded up to get in the first three rounds. It's Delvin Cook, Alvin Kamara, Melvin Gordon, and Kareem Hunt. And then the fifth one is Kerryon Johnson. So that just tells you what, you know, if the Lions traded up to get him in the second round this past year, you know, they have designs on him having a big role. And I don't know that he's going to quite – you know, put up the numbers that those guys have, but that's what they think of him. You know, they knew they needed to fix the running game, and they went up to get it back that they think can play on all three downs. Now, you know, he's not going to play on all three downs right off the bat because LeGarrette Blount, he's going to be that mauler. You know, you still have Theo Riddick who's going to catch 50 or 60 passes. You know, Kerryon's had some injury history in college. So, you know, I think they're going to manage his workload a little bit. And Matt Patricia is the type of guy who's on record as saying he likes having a share carry in the backfield. But I do think, you know, if you're looking for one running back that's going to put up the most yards or maybe get the most opportunity this year, that guy is Kerryon Johnson for the Lions.
Again, we're with Dave Burkett. You can find him on Twitter at Dave Burkett. That's B-I-R-K-E-T-T. He's a Lions beat writer for the Detroit Free Press. So on that point, related to Matt Patricia, what has been yours or the media in general locally's perception of him? Ready for the job? It's usually sunshine and rainbows to get started in somebody's tenure, but what is your initial impression of him?
It's been pretty favorable so far. And you know, from a fantasy standpoint, look, the offense is going to be largely the same. You still have the same offensive coordinator. You still have Matthew Stafford pulling the trigger. You know, they did obviously recommit to the running game a little bit, so you would think they would be a little better in that area with the additions they made both to their offensive line and the backfield. You know, and I think, you know, everyone is sort of hoping, at least within the Lions organization around here, that the Lions get a sort of new coach bounce on the defensive side of the ball because that's where Matt Patricia excels at. So look, they're far from a completed product, and in the NFC North, you still have the Packers with Aaron Rodgers, and you still have a really good team with the Vikings ahead of you. But you know, I think the Lions, because of their quarterback, because of some of the way that I think, you know, they're going to try to manage the game and play ball this year, I think they do have a chance to be, you know, 500 or better again.
Let me ask you on the point of Patricia. I was following along the kind of the idea that you have where you're ranking the most important guys within the organization for this year. Stafford was one, and Patricia was two. How much pressure do you think Patricia could feel with this year one? Because I think that if he is successful, then we could see them push for the playoffs. But if he's not, it instantly will turn into another guy that can't survive without Bill Belichick.
Right. No, and because, you know, look, Bob Quinn last year, he said when he fired Jim Caldwell, he said he thought the Lions underachieved. And I think if you pulled a lot of people around the NFL, there's probably a lot of people who thought they overachieved in going 9-7. You know, certainly not a lot of people picked them to make the playoffs last year. And, you know, Bob Quinn said they underachieved, and he wanted a coach that could, you know, get them over that hump, make them a perennial playoff team, take them to that sort of next level, get them out of that mediocre 8-8, 9-7 sort of, you know, range that they had been in of late. And so, you know, there's going to be, not internally, because obviously he's got Bob Quinn's full support and the ownership's full support and everybody who matters, you know, full support. He won't face any pressure that way, but certainly fans will, you know, if the Lions don't win 9 games this year, they're going to look at it and say, well, you sold us this bill of goods that we were going to get a coach that was able to take us to the next level. So why haven't, you know, we done that? So, yeah, I think there will be some pressure. You know, again, people around here, I don't get the sense anyone is thinking this is a Super Bowl team. But at the same time, once games kick off, there's a heavy appetite to win. And I think people will look around and say, well, you told us we were going to get better this year. Why aren't we better? Mm.
So Matt Stafford, to me, he's been one of those guys that as I've watched him over the last 10 seasons, he's shown real improvement to me. Do you know what I mean? Like market improvement. He's a very, very good quarterback. And whereas a few years ago, when he first started his career, there was questions of injury history and decision-making, mm-hmm. and they had him throwing the ball 700 times. He's become a very good, polished quarterback to me. Do you ever get the sense that he's frustrated?
No, I haven't yet. You know, I think early on in his career, you know, I've covered him really since his second season. You know, he was definitely frustrated by the injuries and, you know, a lot of the talk that was around that and him not being able to, you know, whether he was ever going to live up to the hype as a number one overall pick. And even, you know, the subsequent years, I guess, when he was putting up a lot of yards, but the Lions, you know, there's one year when he threw for almost 5,000 yards and the Lions went 4-12. And, you know, people point to his record against winning teams and they say, well, he can't beat these winning teams. But I think you're right. I think Stafford has matured as a quarterback here in these last couple seasons. You know, he's not putting up 5,000 yards again, but they're not asking him to. And he's become a better passer because he's completing a higher percentage of his passes. He's spreading the ball around a little bit more. He's starting to do some things where, you know, he takes ownership of the team a little bit more. And that's something that early on, maybe that didn't fall into his, you know, comfort zone. So I think the Lions are better right now because Matthew Stafford is a better, more consistent quarterback. Now that doesn't mean, you know, that he still doesn't have room to grow, because he does. He had too many turnovers last year. You know, he took too many sacks. Some of those were on him, not just that offensive line. And so I think, you know, Matthew needs to make some strides in that area while maintaining the consistency that he's shown, you know, spreading the ball around, completing some of those passes if the Lions are going to get to that level where they are a perennial playoff team.
And Stafford will give them that consistency, so it'll be up to the other side of the football to make sure that they're not out of games and even put them in position to maybe even blow some teams out. I know, again, within that most important list, you mentioned Deshaun Robinson, Tease Tabor could see big years. I also think Ziggy Ansah is a question mark for this team, is just of what does he return to that former level? How do you feel about Ziggy Ansah playing on the franchise tag this upcoming season?
Yeah, look, when they went into the offseason, you know, I think there were two areas that they clearly needed to upgrade, and that was the running game and the pass rush. And they spent a whole lot of resources getting better in the running game. You know, they signed LeGarrette Blount. They spent, you know, 4 of their 6 draft picks on offensive linemen or running backs, fullbacks. You know, so I think they clearly addressed that area. They didn't do much to improve that pass rush. They signed Devon Kennard, who's going to play sort of a, you know, that hybrid outside linebacker. He'll rush a little. He'll play in coverage. He'll do a little bit of everything. But the biggest question is still Ziggy, because he's a couple years ago, everybody remembers he was a really, really good defensive end. And then injuries the last 2 years have held him back. I know he had 12 sacks last year, but he was not at all consistent. You know, 9 of those sacks came in 3 sack games. So they need more out of that defensive line. They need more out of that pass rush. And, you know, Patricia's counter to that is, well, there's a lot of different ways you can get pass rush. You know, you can blitz your linebackers, your safeties, your cornerbacks. You can do a whole lot of different things. And so, again, I think that's why the Lions think that maybe they can get some of that through coaching. And maybe, you know, when the options weren't there, they didn't want to force a pass rusher. But I still see them as being pretty thin on the defensive side of the ball, at least in the front 7. And so they need to make sure they hold up, no injuries, and they need to keep Ziggy healthy especially.
Great stuff. That's Dave Burkett. You can find him at the Detroit Free Press on Twitter at Dave Burkett, B-I-R-K-E-T-T. He's one of my favorite writers in all of the NFL. So, Dave, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it, and have a good training camp.
No problem, guys. We'll talk to you again.
So we'll come back. We'll wrap up on the Lions and wrap up the show after this. It's Mike and Kevin on FST. We'll be back right after this.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
We're back on FST. Closing out the show. It's been, man, I feel like we sprinted through this show today. Crazy, right?
Because we had almost the whole block
off. We had a little bit of a technical issue to start the show, but we got it going. We had Joe DeLuise from Lombardi Ave. He's a Packers writer for FanSided, and then Dave Burkett, who I honestly is one of my favorite NFL writers. Detroit Free Press. He gave us all the information we needed, even inside of 10 minutes. He was great. So before we go, I got to read this. Would you bake a cake without a recipe?
No.
Or go to trial without a lawyer?
No.
No, you wouldn't. Then why would you go into your fantasy football draft without the Roto Experts exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package? We have a fantasy Hall of Famer. That's Scott Engel. And the number one overall football accuracy expert. That's Jake Seeley on staff. They're writing articles, compiling rankings, projecting 2018 statistics, and answering your pre-draft questions. Our company has been nominated for over 60 fantasy industry awards in the last 3 years, and we're here to help you win. So go to rotoexperts.com, use code WINNER to get 10% off, and give us the honor of leading you to fantasy glory with the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. So there you go. Coming up, it's Fantasy Football Frenzy with Corey Parson and George Kurtz. And then after that, it's the Fantasy Baseball Hour, which is actually 2 hours long. 2 to 4, that's Lorne Michaels, Justin Mason, Todd Zola usually chimes in as well. So let's wrap up the Lions first. Dave gave us some really good info there. That offense, look, he said it to us. They're going to manage Kerryon Johnson. So since he's going, and I'm pulling up the numbers right now, since he is going as the number, I remember where he went in Scott Fishbowl. I wasn't in love with it. He's going as the number 31st. He's the 31st running back off the board. So you're expecting that guy to be an RB3, right down the middle. So are you in on any of the Lions RBs?
I took LeGarrette Blount and Scott Fishbowl because I think that they're I feel like there's kind of a baseline to where, like, in a pinch, I could play him if I was really desperate. There's some upside there if the Kerryon Johnson stuff doesn't work out. I will say, he did kind of get me interested on Kerryon Johnson with the trade up for running back stuff there. Like, he should see, I guess, a certain number of touches to try and justify that selection. So that did interest me there. I hadn't heard it put that way before.
Let me see. So I'm with you. I think there's always going to be a baseline for Theo Riddick that I'm going to be comfortable with. I'm trying to see where he's going here. Riddick. There he goes. 51st running back. So that's a guy that you're drafting as your fourth running back. In some cases, your fifth, depending on where you got him. But you should feel okay with that. You know, his bye week's hit. You got Theo Riddick in there. Could it be a consistent RB3? I think that would be hard. But I think there's going to be weeks where he's in there in your flex. I think he's a good guy to have there, baseline. It's almost like he's a different kind of player. But obviously, it's like having Frank Gore. Like, as long as your expectations aren't oversized, it's okay to have that guy in there and throw him in your flex, you know, half a dozen times during the year or more. But Theoretic's a really good pass catcher. So in PPR leagues, I think there's some value there. Like Garrett Blunt going right in front of him, 49th. But you're going to have to be dependent on touchdowns there. Amir Abdullah, I mean, I think his time is come and gone as far as fantasy owners.
Yeah, no, I'm out on Amir Abdullah all the way.
He's an 83rd running back going off the board, so he's not even being drafted right
now. He's the
now.
Fourth on and their depth chart.
Yeah. Yeah, look, they don't draft Kerryon Johnson if they liked Amir Abdullah. They just don't. So there you go, 31st running back, like I said before. I'm mostly going to avoid these guys because it's a committee. It just will be. As Dave said, they drafted two running backs, Kerryon Johnson plus a fullback. They signed LeGarrette Blount. They drafted an offensive lineman. They're going to try and be better to as far as pushing the ball, like churning it out down the field, but they were dead last year. They have to be better. They could still be in the top, outside the top 20 running games in the league, and it would be a significant improvement. So that's why I'm not really targeting any Lions running backs. You do what you have to do draft by draft, but I'll probably avoid that running game for the most part. Theo Riddick's the guy I could see myself owning the most. As far as wide receivers are concerned, right now Golden Tate is the 22nd wide receiver off the board. He's behind Allen Robinson, Juju Smith-Schuster, Demaryius Thomas, Brandon Cooks, in front of Jarvis Landry, Alshon Jeffrey, Marvin Jones, Corey Davis. So, you know, an interesting thing last year when you look at it, because I didn't own him anywhere, and I never targeted him, but Marvin Jones and Golden Tate ended up side-by-side in PPR leagues, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11th and 12th in PPR leagues last year, separated by less than a point. And I'm always in on Golden Tate, and he had 92 catches. Marvin Jones had 61, but he had the 9 touchdowns, so it really pushed him forward. He had 1,100 yards. I think a lot of people don't realize that Marvin Jones had such a good season. He's just not as widely talked about as the other top 12 guys. I mean, he was the least talked about of the guys that finished in the top 12. I can guarantee you that. The other guys being A.B. and Hopkins, Allen, Fitz, Landry, Thomas, Julio, Tyreek Hill, Adam Thielen, A.J. Green. All those guys, far more publicity than Marvin Jones. I've never been as huge a fan of his game because I think it's a little too touchdown dependent, but 1,100 yards says it all.
Yeah, I mean, they're a great 1-2 punch, and that's why you bring Kenny Golladay in. And in a way, with the tight end departure, because if Golladay improves, and oh, maybe does that lower things for Marvin or it lowers things for Golden Tate, but it really shouldn't. I don't think at all. So I think they're both really, really good, and you get great value on them as well. I have to say, as a whole, I'm much higher, I think, on this Lions team than a lot of people are. Like, I know that everyone looks at the Packers and the Vikings, and I understand why they feel like there is a massive gap between them and the Lions, but I don't necessarily feel that way. I think if Patricia comes in and is a success, I really think that this can be a double-digit win football team.
Interesting. I don't know if they can get there, but the Kenny Golladay thing just has me very curious. Like, I just wonder how many of those touches he takes away. You know, right now, I said Golden Tate was 22nd. Marvin Jones, I'm trying to find him on here. Forgive me as I stumble around here, but Julio, Marvin, 25th, right behind Golden Tate, and then Golladay, 58. So draftable, obviously, but barely. You know, in a 12-team league, you're looking at 60 to 70 wide receivers drafted. But so he's towards the end of it. You just wonder how many of those touches he takes. I think what Dave said was key about the tight ends, that they're going to be a near non-factor. So Golladay takes more of those touches than anything else.
Yeah, that, I totally agree. I do think that that's, I mean, is that ideal though? Like, why? There's a couple of teams we've gone through that they're just entering the season, and you look at the Titans and you go, okay, that's nothing to talk about.
Yeah, yeah, it's interesting, but Luke Wilson and Levine Toilolo aren't really scaring anybody, so I think they're going to go with what they have. They have three wide receiver weapons. You know, Galladay was a reasonably high pick, so they have some expectations for him. He saw 48 targets last year. The tight end, Eric Ebron, saw 86 targets. And Darren Fells saw 26. So that's 112 targets right there. And why couldn't Kenny Galladay take 30 of those? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Push him up to 80 targets. And what kind of catch rate? Say we got a 50% catch rate. That's, you know, that's 40 passes up from 28. Maybe the catch rate is better than that. You know, we can get him up to that's the thing. How much of an increase in his catches? But Marvin Jones' numbers probably don't go really anywhere. If he has another successful season, 61 catches on 107 targets for 1,100 yards and 9 touchdowns, that's pretty damn good for Marvin Jones, especially if you're getting him 25th.
Well, can I go off what you just said for the tight ends, though? In a way, if Ebron Fells are out, but they combined last year 7 touchdowns, 112 targets, 70 receptions, even if, I mean, it's going to obviously, it should be lower, but then does, you know, Luke Wilson have some type of value if he sees 70 targets, can bring in 40, 45 of them, and see 6 touchdowns? I mean, it's not like they're never going to throw the ball to the football. Throw the ball to the tight end, rather.
Yeah, I agree. I'm sorry, you had a little bit of stat there, but I heard mostly what you're talking about. This is one of the harder teams we talked about, and me trying to figure out where I feel pretty strong about the Bears, maybe not all coming together. I feel pretty good about the Packers and Vikings being in the playoffs. I'm just having a time with my team. Maybe that just means they're back to 8-8 again.
Yeah, they did. I mean, look, it's one of those things where when I say I'm high on them, I like what's there. I really like what they have on the offensive side of the ball. I think that this offensive line is put in a position now where they should be within the top 10. I think the running game fantasy-wise can be a mess, but on the field, it should be fine. If Kerryon Johnson hits, that's wonderful. Again, if it doesn't, LeGarrette Blount and Theo Riddick should be really good within their roles to where it's viable. And if they were the worst rushing game in all of football last season, then so be it. Because now if you get up to 22, it's a 10-spot jump. That's a dramatic difference. We just said the tight ends aren't great, but they still have a very underrated receiving core. And then defensively, there's still talent there. Like, if Ziggy Ansah gets back to form, there are playmakers in that secondary. Diggs, Quinn, Darius Slay. And if you can just get some of the younger guys to take steps forward, Sean Robinson, Jerrod Davis, the inside linebacker they had drafted, Tease Tabor. If these guys hit, then, and Patricia can also elevate them up to another level, it can provide the Lions the opportunity to really surprise people. I really do think that there is somewhat of a solid roster there. Corey, you are to my right in eating, so I don't mean to disturb you, but you did seem that my point that the Lions have a 10-win potential, you seem to very much so feel like that was wrong. Sean, if you could throw Corey's mic on, that would be fantastic. He's going to come in and join us quickly here as we close out the show. Well, when that's Sean, give me an idea of when Corey's on there. But you know, look, the thing too is it's difficult to sell people, and I understand why on the Lions when the two teams in front of them look to be playoff locks, and I understand why they would be. The Minnesota Vikings were amazing last season. They won 13 football games, and they get better at quarterback. They should have Dalvin Cook for a full season, so that would be a massive upgrade over. I think Latavius Murray, I don't think that that's much of a hot take. They have a tremendous defense as well. And then if you look at the Green Bay Packers, they made really nice additions. I like what they did within their secondary in drafting Jaire Alexander round one and drafting Josh Jackson round two. I like the Muhammad Wilkerson signing. And then you add on top of all of that the addition of Aaron Rodgers returning, then that makes the difference for the Green Bay team. So I'm not even saying that I think the Lions are going to push for the division crown. I struggle to even tell you that they could be the second team within this division. But maybe this is the team that has three playoff teams. Again, this is where the NFC becomes difficult. It becomes really difficult. People have been trying to sell a lot of people on the Bears. This is going to be the surprise team, the shock team, and they're still comfortably fourth here. How can they be the LA Rams when they're still the fourth best team in their division? And look, this is with every division. Look at the NFC East. The Redskins, they still have talent there, but they look like they might still be last within that division. The Cowboys are going to have Zeke for a full season now, and they should be wonderful. Corey Parsons thinks Washington's going to win the division. If his mic ever gets turned on, I really would like for him to explain that one to me. Is that on?
Yeah, I think we got some action right here now. Nah, DC.
What's up there?
Top five offensive line in the league. Top five defensive line in the league. You got Alex Smith, who is not going to be the gunslinger that Kirk Cousins was. Kind of be exactly what Jay Gruden needs. You got the kid in the backfield, Geist, not to mention Chris Thompson. If Doxson can hit, Jermaine Jameson Crowder's been legit. Jordan Reed gets the toe operated on. That shouldn't be a problem this year.
I think that's one of the funny things, right? I said Washington could be last. I think, personally, I could be biased. I don't think so. I do think that the Eagles have a gap between them and the other three teams.
Eight playoff teams on that schedule this year. Eight of last year's 12 playoff teams on that schedule. You're sitting up there with your Eagles championship hat on. You're not going to sit up here and talk about the separation in the NFC East is that deep.
Well, here's one of the things about the – that's kind of the case for almost every NFC team. There's
no bad teams in the NFC.
It's crazy. Mm-hmm. So I do think schedule-wise, you could probably make that argument for a lot of the teams. But that was – even to my point, I'm not even going to harp too much on you saying that Washington's first. It more goes to the point of what the NFC is relative to the rest of the league. I like the Lions roster, and I'm talking about 10-plus wins. Maybe they're the bottom five, though, within this conference. Like, that's also in play.
So, yeah, and no doubt.
Like, that's one of the tough things. I like...
Don't be improved.
The Bucs are not going to be good, Corey.
I think the Bucs will be fine. I really do. I really do, Mike. Really? I think the Bucs will be fine.
I think they're going to get their clocks cleaned because of their division is really good. That's the problem.
Worst team in Florida. The Dolphins or the Bucs?
Well, the Dolphins are worse.
Okay.
But I think
the Dolphins are going to come in last place.
In the league.
In their division.
I think they're the worst team in the NFL, Miami.
I think they might be one of the worst.
The team I argue for is Buffalo Bills, also in the AFC East. Mm-hmm. New England.
I just think
New England couldn't win the NFC.
I agree.
They could not win the NFC.
I agree strongly. But that's the way that the whole thing is set up. And to what you said there, Mike, I agree with you on the Tampa point. But I also think if you're going to have to find teams that are going to bottom out in the NFC, it's going to need, like, things are going to have to turn into a mess. There's going to need to be turmoil, and there's going to need to be injuries. So you can point
to... Cardinals could be... Look, I've tried to defend the Cardinals, but I think a defensive coordinator coming in to coach that team when they have young offensive players all over the place could be a disaster. I don't think it's going to go all that well. Well, it's Fantasy Football Frenzy coming up next with Corey, who I will join this week, I promise, for a Fantasy Football Frenzy show.
Oh,
thanks for listening to us. I'll talk to you again soon.